this week, and we're gonna combine the two, in relationship to another asset of where we focus. Only chapter 6, verse 11 says, reckon or impute yourself to be what God counts you to be. Dead to your sin nature and alive in Christ. And Paul writes in the two letters, Ephesians and Colossians, he uses this terminology up here, the putting off and the putting on. Some of that, in those terminologies, the putting off an old position and putting on a new position, has already been accomplished. It's done. We are to live in the light of it. And to put off and put on the activities that are related to the old position, putting those positions or those works off, and putting on works that are related to our new position in Christ. So that's what we're looking at. You follow along as we'll be reading verses 17 through 25 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the emptiness of their mind, a vanity that has no result. They do, they think, and so forth, but at the end of the day, it doesn't accomplish anything. That's a term of vanity, vanity of their mind. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, this is these Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated, separated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, which is caused by the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, or outrageous lewd behavior. The word all uncleanness, all those thoughts of the mind, those unclean thoughts of the mind, and to work them with greediness. But you have not so learned the depth of God. You have not so learned the Christ. Talking about Christ as the head, and every Testament believer as members of the body. You have not so learned this combination, this new man, the Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus or by Jesus, and how have you been taught by him? I never, Jesus never came to my room. It's out of the water. He had taught me. It's like we didn't know what he was talking about. Jesus did speak to me through Paul and the other Testament writer. And that's what Paul is getting at here. If, or assuming it's true, and it is, that you have been, that you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is by Jesus. Verse 22, that you put, this what is, what you've been taught, that you put off concerning the former conversation, or conduct, putting off the conduct, the old man, that's related to the old man, which is corrupt, according to the, and get this, this is very important, we're coming back here again. Put off the old man, the manner of life, the conduct, the old man which is corrupt according to the lusts of the deceit. There's one particular deceit that particular lusts come from that we're going to put off. We'll explain that when we get into our message further this morning. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which is after, according to God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, I see that word lying. When we get to the Colossian letter, to see what Paul says there about putting off and putting on, there it says lying. Here, this is the lie, very important. Wherefore, verse 25,
co-died with his son. He's, has seen us to be co-buried with his son and to be co-raised with his son. Why did Jesus die? He died for our sin, for our sin nature, and all the products that came out of that sin. And so we're to know what he knows. And then it went on in Romans chapter 6 to believe that we can have victory over our sin nature when we implement this opinion that God has us, of us having died to our sin nature with Christ and having been buried with Christ and having been raised with Christ, where he's now ascended to the right hand of God the Father in the third heaven. All a mental aspect. And then we are to record it on truth. It'll work. We believe it. We know it. We believe it. Now we reckon it. We count it to be true. And we are dead to our sin nature. salvation has taken place. Remember John chapter 3, verse 5? Jesus said in Nicodemus that we have born of flesh, that is born of the Spirit, of the Spirit. The new birth has taken place in the realm of our human spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 says that our spirit has been joined to the spirit of needed, to God's spirit. And so we, and here's how you can know that you, my experience, know that you are genuinely born again. If you have a promise for the Lord Jesus Christ, not fear, but promise. If you have a promise for other people who are genuinely fond of Jesus Christ, and if you are fond of God's Word, and you have a hunger for God's Word, to know it and to understand it and to see where things have come from and where everything is going and to see how you have this salvation that is so complete and so eternal and so secure. And so you have a fondness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of other people who are fond of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Word of God. And by that, you and I can see the salvation of another man. But here again, you cannot see position. And yet, your position in Christ enables the other half of your salvation, Christ in you, to be able to, without obstruction, to be demonstrated in the life of Christ being lived out through you. So, as we continue this morning, we want to look at these terms of having put off and having put on, and then the putting on off and the putting on. There's two words in the New Testament scripture that describe putting off and putting on. One, and let's turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Yes. Acts 7, 58 is the first place that we see this word. In fact, I'm not even going to turn there. You don't have to, because I know the story there. Acts 7. It's the word to put off. It's apotipemi. Tipemi means to set or place. I set or place something. I can place this hand. I set it down. That's what that word means. And then apa, APO, means from. So I set it. I got it. I set it from me. I put it away. I put it from me. That's what this word is. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen filthy communication out of your mouth. Then you walk in black. That blasphemy is making a false attribution. So you could have been saying something negative in a very strong way against an individual. But blasphemy is attributing something to their character that may or may not be true, but you don't know. In fact, a lot of times when this is done, it isn't true. Remember what the religious leaders did with Jesus? When he would make a claim that he was God, they said, "You're blaspheming. You're making a false attribution. You're a man and you're saying you're God. That's worthy of death." Now, theirs was a false accusation of blasphemy, because he was God. And here we have this filthy communication, and then this false attribution, making saying something about someone that isn't true, or may or may not, that you don't know for sure. And then you walk it back one more characteristic here, negative characteristic, and that word malice. That's interesting. The King James likes to translate this Greek word in many different ways. We're going to quote it in many different ways, but it's simply the word kakos, which is one of two words for evil. And this word for evil means it's lacking in character. It isn't what it should be. And so the evil, the filthy communication, which can follow blasphemy, false attribution, which is bad. That's not how a Christian should act or speak. And then we go back to the first two words here of these five. Put off all these anger and wrath. And the King's English, or the King James, let's say, what would you visually see before they sinned? What would you visually see? They had a garment like God's garment, a garment of white. Well, this is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that God dwells in unapproachable light. Jesus Christ lives in unapproachable light. Remember what Saul of Tarsus saw on the road to Damascus, the light above the brightness of the noonday sun? That's what the glorified Christ is surrounded by. That's what he's wearing. That's what his garment is. And originally, in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve with that quality of image. It was a light garment. And when they sinned, that light garment was stripped from them. And it was at that time, after they sinned, they knew they were something that they didn't know before. And what was that word? They were naked. Why did they try to put leaves together, foliage together to cover their nakedness? Because prior to that, they weren't naked. They had God's image. So back in Genesis, remember this, back in Genesis, image, God's image was demonstrated or pictured as a garment of light. That's what you saw. That's Paul. Saul of Tarsus looked up into the third heaven, and he saw that garment of light, and he saw it without sunglasses, without a welding helmet, and he was blinded by its brightness, its brilliance. That was a demonstration of what they saw back in the Garden of Eden. What Paul saw on the road to Damascus. But now there's another quality of image of Christ. And what we see as we go down through here, let's just read verse 12 and then we're going to go back to verse 10. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, the love, bowels of mercy, kindness, low-mindedness, objectivity of mind, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and so forth. All of these righteous qualities, going back to the last phrase in verse 10, it qualifies as the image of Christ. It's his life being demonstrated outward. You and I can show forth the image of Christ. And it's not going to be a light garment today. When we're glorified, we're going to have a light garment, and that'll be a quality of an image that we show. But right now, we have a quality of an image of Christ, and it's not a light garment. That is of luminescence. It's a light garment in this way. It's the light of God in activity. That is the icon, the image. That's the image. When we, in our activity, show forth aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, we show forth righteous character, that we are demonstrating Christ's image. Now, it says in verse 11, put on, having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image, according to the image of him that created him. Where? In this place where we have this image, positioned in Christ, we always have this image. We can live out this image as we're spiritual down here. But in our position in Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now what they're talking about. Why does Paul bring this up? All these different groups. All these different people groups, different racial groups, different ethnic groups, different groups of localities in the known world at that time, where Paul would go and preach the gospel, and there was some neither Greek nor Jew. Why does he bring up these distinctions? Because he's talking about the unity in the body of Christ. The unity in the body of Christ. Let's go back. Now, don't worry about our outline up here. We've been emphasizing this setting off. You don't set off your position in half, that's all you have to do. What you're setting off or placing off from you is the activity or conduct that belongs to that. And yes, you saw the question, well, if I'm not seen by God as being in Adam anymore, what's this putting off? I still have a sin nature, and I can still act the way I could only act before I was saved. That's all I can act. And I can do that today. So when I'm not using my salvation correctly, Christ in me and me in Christ, my sin nature can come in 24/7 at any time. It can cause me to be thinking of strong desires concerning who I'm not in Christ. I can be thinking about my sin nature. I can be used to utilize my sin nature. But I'm not, he doesn't see me there anymore. No, but I can still practice the sin nature. I practice the works of the sin nature. It's like me going back to my old position and putting on the clothes that I had before, those very clothes of me dead in heaven, and acting the way I was seen in heaven. God says, I don't see it that way. Why are you acting that way? You have put off who you are in heaven. When you believe the gospel of the Holy Spirit, that he took you out of that position, when Godhead doesn't see you there anymore, they see you in your position in Christ. Why would I act this way? Why would I demonstrate this conduct? Because I'm carnal, but I'm living like I used to be. So the position is put off. But now I'm to put off in an active day by day, as long as I have a necessity to do so, I've got to put off this conduct that I may be practicing or I'm being tempted to practice. I put that off. That's something that is in a present tense, active voice. What's the problem that Paul is focusing on? This disunity of the body of Christ. What do you think the unity of man is thought about the Gentile members when the church was started? Well, God saving Gentiles, they knew that. They couldn't get away from that. Because of Peter's experience at Cornelius' household, because of Paul's experience as he on his first missionary journey, more Gentiles were hearing and believing the gospel than Jews in these synagogues. So they knew they were being saved. But when it came to functioning as members of the body of Christ, well, they didn't even know at that time it was the body of Christ. They just knew that there were Jewish people that were saved. They had the law, and they were close to God, and God for 1,400 years, in fact, even longer, about 2,000 years, going back to Abraham, and chosen Abraham out of everybody else. So that put the Jew above everybody else, in the Jew's mind, in the Jewish Christian mind. So in the church, there was levels. And from the Jewish Christian mind, even among male and female, throughout the centuries of the Mosaic Law, who had more prominence and access to be a little closer to God? Even in the temple area, where only the priests could go into the temple itself, then it was the courtyard for the priests, third and last courtyard was for Gentiles who had taken Jehovah as their God. They could go into that, as far as that courtyard, and also Jewish women. Jewish women and Jewish men are not seen in this people. Thank Christ. There's no distinction. And there's no distinction between what we have here in this club, we have the three flags. There's neither Greek or Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, incision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free. But Christ is all things and all things. Now there's a complete equality. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, where it's talking about the Jew and the Gentile, historically, the Jew was pretty close to God compared to all the rest of the humanity. When they put God here, or who he really was, the Jew was way down here. The Gentile was just a little bit below the Jew. And you put all three of these together. God, here's the Jew, here's the Gentile. Well, we're ahead of the Gentiles. But now, in Ephesians chapter 2, these two who become believers, who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, are both raised together up and are seated, not up to the third heaven, but in the third heaven, and in a person in the third heaven, in Jesus Christ. There's your equality. And it's totally by grace. And it's far beyond what the Jews ever experienced before. And yet, they were coming to this place, there was this distinction between Jews, Gentiles, men, women, bond, free, these various tribal groups and nationalities, racial groups and so forth, that Paul distinguishes there. The problem was not knowing that the body of Christ was cohesively together and equal. No matter what your background was, you were now seen together. And so that's why he's telling the Colossian church, you're not in heaven anymore. Why are you acting this way? Why are you acting this way? Why do you have anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth? All these things were in relationship to these fightings, between those who are true believers in the church. He said, you're not in Adam anymore. Put off the conduct that is commensurate with that position. God sees you continually in Christ. Put on that conduct. In verse 9 of Colossians chapter 3, we saw the word to take, to step off. There's a different word that's used in verse 9 where you put off the old man, and you've done this. It's in the aorist tense. You already put off this position. You've put off as to take off as a garment. Now this word, the other word was to set from you. Like I take this pen and I set it from me. But this word is taking off the garment. I take off the garment. Not that garment or dualine. I take off. And what I took off of who I was in, like my conduct, of how I was functioning in my old position, now it goes on to say to put on the new man. So up here we have point number 2, I hope. I lose my wife all the time. I'm getting into the weeds here on this stuff. We have the Roman numeral number 2, we're putting on the new man, and this word is the word not op, tech, and duo, put out off from, but now it's simply putting on the new man. And it's, here again, it's putting on as you put on a garment. This word is used 28 times in the New Testament. 13 mortal body must, here it is, put on incorruption. And this mortal, this body which is susceptible to mortality, to death, must put on immortality. Verse 54, so when this rottable, this corruptible, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So four times this word five, there's one more in 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to go there, but five times it's used of putting on the new body, the resurrected, glorified body. And then we come to this word being used of our position in Christ, the new man. So we go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, where it says in verse 22 that you set off from yourselves concerning the former conduct, the old man, that those activities that were commensurate with the old man. You set those off, and then in verse 24 it says, and that you put on as a garment the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. After Paul says this in this particular letter, watch what he does when he goes on in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away, what do you have there? I know I told you to do something, but I don't know. If I was sitting there, I don't know if I could write that. Putting away the lie, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, what is this about? Many times I've come across this and I go, this is like Paul's pulling out, okay, put it on, Paul, let's say one negative character, oh, lie. And another positive character, oh, truth. There's a reason why he says be a lie and truth. You know what it is? Be a lie. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 25, is, in fact, let's go back there and read that. Romans 1:25 tells us, is just one of the several places in the New Testament that uses this terminology. It says that these people, in verse 18, who hold down the truth in unrighteousness, that's verse 18, in verse 25 it says, who change the truth concerning God, who God is, how unique he is. No one can be like him. They've changed that truth into the lie. The lie. Remember what Lucifer, you know, we're all disobedient and sin began. You know, the spirit realm with the greatest of ever created being, Lucifer. He said in his heart, it says in Isaiah chapter 14, I will ascend, I will set my throne above the said the same thing at the end of Galatians chapter 3. He said the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In Christ there are no distinctions. What were these people doing? They were acting independently and going, I don't need that Gentile who's a Christian. I don't need them. And they're beneath me. And the Gentile Christian looking at the Jewish Christian goes, oh yeah, same to you, brother. And there was this disparity among the body of Christ because they were buying into this idea of the lie, which did Satan and Lucifer in, which was sold to Eve, and then Adam, and she bought into it, Adam followed her, the whole human race fell. And so there's this proclivity among mankind to buy into this idea. I can do it myself. I can act independently. I can do it my way. You'll have churches filled this morning, and you have the last 20 centuries as Christendom has gone from a mustard plant of true believers to this monstrosity of a tree. There's all kinds of profession within Christendom that says, no, I don't have to think that Jesus is God. I'll just follow his example. And on and on and on, where they make up their own, but they're acting independently. I can think and do my own thing. The lie. And Paul says to the believers, right, boy, yeah, you're being susceptible to this lie, this particular lie that's been around since the fall of the first being, Lucifer. And you're buying into that. You're acting independent. If anyone from any nationality, any gender, any social station in life becomes the guy at the top of the social standing and the guy at the bottom of the social standing are to see themselves as Christ. In fact, I did this. See this social standing? Social standing, Christ social standing, no social standing. I did this. It should have been this. We're both way up there. That's who we are. They're making these distinctions. Well, these heathen that are being saved. Or the Gentiles. These people that aren't adhering to the law and they're uncircumcised, and yet they're Christians, but they're second class because they're not circumcised. And the uncircumcised, the Christian, the Gentile Christian, so forth, that's being disparaged, you can look at the other Christian who thinks he's greater and so forth, and have animosity and hatred toward that brother. It's what's ripping apart from God intended. And so Paul is saying in verse 25 of Ephesians 4, wherefore, putting away the lie, speak every man truth. What's the truth? What's the truth? In this very letter, when you go back to the second chapter, that he's not the one being against, God has created one man, in whom there is understanding. We're all one in Christ. Putting away the lie, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And here it explains that in Ephesians 25. For we are members one another. Keep your finger on verse 25 where it says, we are members one another. And go over to verse 16. Verse 22. But speaking truth, it's actually the verbal form of truth. It's not a noun, it's a verb. It's truly in love. That is, you have a believer, a spiritual believer, whatever you say, whatever, it's not simply speaking, it's living, it's doing, it's acting, it's attitude. But truly in love may grow up into him, into Christ, in all things which is the head. Now this goes right back to chapter 2, where it tells us he's created one new man, and Jesus Christ is the head. But speaking truth, or truly in love, may grow up into him in all respects. Who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined and compacted. will be of the measure of every heart. Not every believer is a man. Not every believer is a woman. Not every believer has a Jewish background. Not every believer has a Gentile background. Not every believer comes from this circumstance or that circumstance, from a great social standing or a low social standing. God uses us all and putting us together here that honor and every part and that joins the way we relate to you. We relate with our eternal life towards one another. We relate with our spiritual gift toward one another. Every joint, while every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase or growth of the body unto, and watch this, the last phrase, verse 16, makes growth concerning the body unto the edifying for the building up of itself. Put on the conduct of activity in your old position and have. We're not talking about the position. Position is done with. But it's the conduct that can persist if I, dealing with my sin nature, live the way I used to, it's like I'm living in Adam again. And God said, that's not who you are, Mark. That's not who you are. And so, whatever conduct you're demonstrating, it's relative to who you were in Adam. That's not who you are. Put that conduct off tomorrow. Put that conduct off the next day. Put that conduct off. I'm already not in Adam. I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing it in Christ. So every time, put that conduct off. I don't have to put my position on. I'm not, when it says where we're putting on a new man, that has been done once. That's in the aorist tense. That's been done. It's been put on. We're to put on the conduct of the new man. The conduct of the new man. Paul says that to the Ephesian church. He said it to the Colossian church. Put on the conduct that belongs to your old position in Adam. Put on the conduct that belongs to your new position in Christ. There's much more than we said. And you know I've been struggling to say this. You know that. There's so much love here. And it all has to do about us. On that one hand of our salvation from the union of Christ. When you come to the word of angels, here it is once a month, the remembering that year of Christ. But God reckons or imputes, counts true of us having died to the sin nature and risen to righteousness.